This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 32, where we'll talk to Jeff DeVerta, the SharePoint General Manager from Rackspace, about SharePoint hosting in the cloud and Office 365. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it. All right, well, welcome to the show, AC. How are things?
Things have been better. I feel like someone stood on my face all last night with a lovely head cold and a bad sore throat. So this is me sounding really bad.
Brutal. Yeah, normally I was just saying before we started recording, you know, normally we do this over Skype and I give you a call and we have video going. For me, it's usually morning time, like, you know, not early morning, but morning-ish. And for you, it's obviously a few hours later because you're on the East Coast. And yep. So you're already, you know, a good number of coffees into the day, so to speak. And I'm normally the subdued one. So it's a bit of a role reversal this time. So, yeah, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, this is me with three cups of coffee right now. So my day is brought to you by sore throat, cough drops, head cold medicine, and orange juice.
Oh, dear. But, oh, well, if you need to go and pass out, just let me know and we'll pause the recording.
I'm done. So work-wise, I just say I'm making progress on projects, but I really don't have much else to say with that. I'm not going to bore people with having to listen to my voice right now.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It sucks, man. I feel for you. I agree.
It's a good thing that this show was a interview that we recorded when I was healthy last week. So, but we'll get into that in just a minute. So, how about you? How are you doing today?
Good. You know, as we are actually suffering from a flood at work. So, building one at Microsoft is there's not the whole lower floor, but a certain area of level one. In building one is full of water apparently, and so yesterday it all was cordoned off, and then finally at about 4 o'clock they turned the power off to the building or to floor one, I think, to be able to do some stuff with the electrics, I assume, or something along those lines, or maybe to fix something, I don't know. But it still isn't on this morning, so I'm going to be hanging out at home for a little bit and getting a bit of work done. Other than that, I went away this weekend for a friend's 40th birthday, and I got to fly in a float plane for the first time, which was kind of exciting. So not particularly cloud related, other than getting a bit closer to them, but it was cool. Took off from South Lake Union in Seattle and went out to one of the islands on a float plane, which it was totally like it was awesome. It was a great experience, and it's kind of freaky landing on water. I think I sent out a tweet. I took a photo and sent out a tweet of the plane, and I was like, this is the first time I will have landed in one of these. Normally I jump out prior to landing.
Mr. Skydiver. That's right. Yeah, I saw the picture, and I was like, resisting the urge to jump?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was a Beaver, and they're quite popular as skydiving planes in certain parts of the world. So, yeah, it was exciting, but yeah, terrifying doing this whole landing thing. This landing thing is not for me.
Just jump.
Especially on water. Yeah. Kind of terrifying.
So did you have to take your seat cushion off and everything and hold it, like, the, you know, in case of a water landing, or was that like in, yeah?
Well, I was sitting in the back seat of this plane. There were five of us, and it was a tiny plane. It's like a six seater, including the pilot. Mm. So I was in the back row, right? It's like those little seats in the back of a seven seater. Right? So I was sitting in the back.
Should you face backwards?
Unfortunately, not. No. Yeah, sitting in the back row reading a boating magazine. So I was thinking, hey, well, just in case we have to land, we have to ditch this thing in the lake. In the Puget Sound, which is kind of it's seawater, but it's not open ocean, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Then, hey, I better read up about flotation devices and emergency procedures. So I'm only kidding.
So wouldn't that just be a landing instead of a water landing? Like, when you looked at all the security and all the safety stuff and everything, was it an event of a land landing?
Yeah, well, I guess that's the difference between landing under a parachute and landing without a parachute. I mean, technically, you're landing just at different speeds.
I see. Yeah, with different like horizontal and vertical velocity, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They do say that there's only one thing that'll get you skydiving, and that's the ground. And that if skydiving's not for, sorry, if at first you don't succeed, skydiving's not for you.
So. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, CJ, I got to interrupt real quick here because we made a mistake. We made a huge mistake. A couple shows ago, we said that we were going to do this new segment. We introduced this new segment, which is Ask Us Anything. And we would play the question on the air. And we would, you and I would then just spend a few seconds answering it. And of course, we did our interview with Kirk Evans last week that we're getting some really good feedback on, actually, which is from what we're seeing that went live this past week. But we forgot to do the question with Kirk, which I feel like a complete bonehead. And then we also forgot to ask Jeff Diverter the same question that we were going to ask ourselves when we did the interview. So we totally bonked it on that. So we're going to come back. And we're going to do one question now. I love it. We're going to do a new segment, and we forget our own segment. So we got a few questions that people have sent in. So keep them coming. Keep sending them back in. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to episode number 30. We're basically, or look at the blog. It says, if you have a question for us, send the question in that's specific to CJ and I, and we will answer it on the air. It can be absolutely anything. Just keep it clean. Otherwise, there's no way we're going to put it on the air. If you can record it, that'd be great. And we just want to make it to where our answers will be about 30 seconds long. So now that I've taken about a minute and a half to explain all that, let me go ahead and let me pitch the question to you. So question we got was, now it's kind of three different answers. It's if you could have the car that you wanted, what car would you go pick? And so it's three different categories. One is this is realistic and I don't have to do too much selling with the missus. There's the second category, which is, okay, this is a bit of a stretch. This is like a $90,000 or $100,000 car or something like that. And then the last one is, I'm not married and I got a boatload of cash. What am I going to go buy?
Ooh, there's so many choices, right? This is the thing. I think the realistic one is probably the hardest for me. I think probably realistically, I would want something small and fun. So, something like maybe an R32 Volkswagen or something in that ilk of car. I think I'm into the small two-door sports car kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
For something a bit more luxury, I do like the idea. I'm not 100% sold on the Tesla, but I would like something like the Tesla. I'm, as you know, I have an electric vehicle already, but the Tesla's a bit more swanky. I'm not so fond of the look on the outside, but I dig the inside, and I dig the whole concept of a long-range electric vehicle. And then for something completely outrageous, and crazy, I'd probably go for the McLaren P1, which I'm fond of the McLarens. I got to drive the MP4 12C around a race course and just completely loved it. And the P1, I've never had a chance to drive, but or actually see one in the flesh. But man, oh man, that car looks like a whole bag of fun looking for a place to go. So I'd be keen to go for that one.
Yeah, I had you pegged on that, on the upper end one. That was pretty easy.
yeah. The lower end one is tough because there's a lot of different choices, right? But I think something small and fun on that end, and something small and fun on the high end, and then in the luxury sort of the middle of the range, hardly middle of the range at like 110K, but it's kind of on the expensive end, but kind of a bit bigger and a bit more luxurious.
Gotcha. For those of you who are listening in, we're talking about cars, not girls. Okay.
So, yeah, there you go. How about you? So what would you pick?
So I'm in a similar boat as you. In terms of something small and fun, this one I think would be the more realistic one, but pricing, it's pretty fair. Very fair, actually, for the car that you get for the price it is. But this would take some convincing, having two little kids and only being a two-seater. But I would, in a second, I'd walk down to the local Nissan dealership and grab one of those 370Z Sports.
Huh.
I love that little car. Absolutely.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I love that car. Well, I'm a Nissan. I'm a bit of a Nissan guy. I'm not a huge fan of the GTR, but
I've got a Leaf.
A little different. Yeah, I drive a Nissan Pathfinder right now. Before that, I drove a ridiculously big Nissan Armada, and before that, I drove a Pathfinder. So I've been a Nissan guy for a little while.
All right, so how about middle of the range?
Middle of the range.
Or luxury, a bit more luxury.
Yeah, so middle of the range, you kind of brought it up a little bit, but in a second, and I'm actually working very hard to try and convince her of this, but it's easily a Tesla. I'm a bit torn, but almost completely sold on the Model X that starts coming out at the end of this year, early next year. It's the SUV with the Falcon doors, not the Gullwing doors, but the Falcon doors.
Yeah, looks like it's going to be popular too.
Yeah, it looks real popular, but I'm a bit torn with the Model S. I love Tesla. I want to do some. I want to get behind Elon Musk, and just that's the car that I would love to get in my driveway. So,
and I reckon I know what your top end will be, but go ahead.
This is a pretty easy one. In a heartbeat, the Ferrari 458 Italia.
Yeah,
I'd do it in a second. Yeah. I love that car. It is the most, like you were saying earlier, I got to drive a 458 in Las Vegas about a month ago or so, around a track, got it up to about 130 miles an hour. I could do that in a second. I thought it might get something out of my system and I wouldn't have the drive to be so much, but not so much. I have a picture of it actually under one of my monitors, and that's what drives me to keep working.
Nice. That's a beautiful car.
That's the best way to say it. Everyone says that car, like, you look at a Lamborghini Aventador, you look at a McLaren P1, they look just, sorry for the language, but they look badass, right?
They do.
But to me, you look at a Ferrari 458, and that just looks, it looks like a gorgeous car to me.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So, there we go. That's our question.
Excellent choices.
Make sure you guys go through and send in another question here. If you have any advertising that you want to do, send us massive advertising so we can get a P1 and a 458.
Thanks very much. Anyway, so this week we've got a pretty interesting show. We've actually got Jeff Deverter, who's the SharePoint General Manager from Rackspace, who we interviewed a few days ago, actually. So Jeff is a great, really interesting guy, really nice guy. He heads up the SharePoint practice and business at Rackspace Hosting. And so for those of our audience that are familiar or not familiar with Rackspace, they're a very prominent and popular choice for hosting and running your SharePoint infrastructure. Rackspace are very well known in the industry. They do all sorts of hosting, not just SharePoint, obviously. So we thought we'd get Jeff on the show to come and talk to us about how they see SharePoint in the cloud, how they see themselves positioned against the likes of Office 365 and so forth, and just to get his perspective on the state of the SharePoint nation in the cloud and see what he had to say.
Yeah, I was eager to get Jeff on the show because he's going to give us an interesting perspective. We always hear from Microsoft, it's the story between on-prem and Office 365, and that's really an all or nothing. I mean, we've also got the hybrid offering as well, where you can take an on-prem environment connected to Office 365. But Jeff and these other hosting or managed services companies like Rackspace, like an FPWeb, these guys do sit somewhere in the middle for some of their offerings. And my perception at first was they were just about sitting in the middle and offering a outsourcing service, in a sense, from people who don't want to go fully to the cloud but also don't want to be fully on-prem and run all their stuff. And so they had different levels of services that they could help you with to run your on-premise environment, but pushing it outside of your hardware and out of your data center. But as you'll hear as the interview kind of went along, it was really interesting to hear Jeff talk about some of the other things that they look at and how they help customers today who are not only thinking about going to 365, but where it may not make the most sense. Specifically, I like towards the end of the interview where you'll hear we talk a little bit about hybrid and how they've got a really good advantage to hybrid compared to people who are trying to do all this stuff on-prem. So, so it was a really good thing. I learned a lot about them. So it's a really good interview.
Yeah, and I think it'd also be worth pointing out we're also going to try and do this with some other companies in a similar space as well, and get their perspective as well, because I think it's very interesting, right? It's hot topic of whether Office 365 is right for everybody, and what are all of the different options that folks should consider. So I think we'll get some interesting perspectives there.
Yeah, and you know we don't want to say who they are just yet, but we will be. We are looking to talk to a few other companies, or actually we are talking to them. My original plan was I wanted to get two of these companies and have an interview and have both their discussions in the same episode. But as you'll hear with the episode that we did with Jeff, you know, it went on for a good 30 minutes or so. And I think that it'll definitely be it definitely would make it way too long of an episode to put them both in the same. But I mean, they're going to have different perspectives. And so, you know, we're actively talking, trying to schedule something with one of the other providers, and that'll be coming up on a show coming up really soon. At least we hope so. Hopefully we can get all the scheduling stuff worked out.
Okay, so with that, let's roll the interview. And here is Jeff Deverter, SharePoint General Manager from Rackspace Hosting.
So with us today, we have Jeff Deverter from Rackspace. So Jeff is a general manager over the SharePoint offering at Rackspace Hosting. Jeff built the offering over the past several years into one of the premier services offered by Rackspace, garnering the highest customer satisfaction and growth metrics in the company. The offering has expanded from managing the farm to full service offerings, including development, governance, end user, and training. The expanded service offerings were accelerated by the acquisition of SharePoint 911. Jeff has been with Rackspace for over 6 years, with over 13 years of SharePoint and IT architecture experience. So, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being offered to be a part of this with you guys. You know, it sounds like a decent bio and decent background, but you know, I'm glad to be with you guys. You guys really helped write the book on a lot of this stuff, quite literally. So, thanks for letting me be a part of this today.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Jeff, let's just dive right in and let's level set with some people who may not be familiar so much with Rackspace, what your offerings are, and all of that. So first, tell CJ, tell our listeners, who is Rackspace, aside from what we just heard in the bio, but who is Rackspace, and you know, what do you do for Rackspace? What's the SharePoint offering? Where do you guys fit in this whole story today?
Yeah, sure. So Rackspace, you know, we've been around for about 15 years, started here in San Antonio. And it very much started as a web hosting company. You know, a couple of 10 grads, I guess, they were at that point from Trinity University, thought it'd be a good idea to put some servers in their closet, quite literally, and host some websites. And that turned into a company that really created and defined what we would call the managed hosting bracket inside of the Gartner Magic Quadrant from a hosting perspective. So the dedicated managed hosting world, not just a server that sits in a cage somewhere, but a server that sits in a data center that's truly managed all the way up from the infrastructure up through into the chassis, up through into the operating system to help our customers be successful with whatever their payloads were. Our company started very much as a Linux company, and just a couple of years into it, realized that Microsoft was making some very serious investments and inroads into providing servers that were of value to customers. And what Rackspace really prides itself in is being responsive to the demands of what customers are. And so we then turned into this company that provided managed hosting for pretty much an equal number of Linux or Windows type environments. And it was about that time or a few years into that I got introduced to Rackspace. I'd been working over at a large financial services firm as an enterprise architect for collaboration and search, which we know means SharePoint. And I was invited to come have lunch because a friend of mine was leading this group that was over the Windows. He said, "We want to do SharePoint. Tell us how we should do it." Which turned into a few other meetings, which turned into one where I was met by a recruiter. And I came to offer some, how we should build a SharePoint offering at Rackspace. And their initial thought was that we needed to build this multi-tenant something and provide SharePoint to our users in a per-user type basis. And as I learned more about Rackspace and the expertise that they had around Windows, around SQL, around Active Directory, around the core things that are needed to make Rackspace or make Rackspace to make SharePoint run well, I was experiencing some problems at the company where I was, and those problems were built around the fact that when SharePoint is installed and configured correctly, it's one of those that just kind of works for a long time. Well, it works until it doesn't. A lot of reasons why it wouldn't, you know, you install something, you know, a site collection gets too big, a database expands, a new feature is needed, and then it doesn't work. And so the problem there then was people who are well-trained and well-educated in how to run SharePoint lose it. And that we were seeing where I was over at my enterprise, and I saw it time and time again as I'd have conversations with different folks at different SharePoint conferences or just in the general community. So I came to Rackspace and I said, you know, if you could get 10 people and sit them in a room so that all they would do from sun up to sun up was manage some of the easiest and hardest problems around SharePoint infrastructure and management, that would be valuable to people. Turns out it was. You know, as we grew, we had the highest customer satisfaction. We've kind of always had the highest customer satisfaction here. And in a company that prides itself in being a customer service-centric, you know, a company, it means something to us. It means something big to us. And from there, we grew into bigger and other things, more than just managing the infrastructure. From an early point, we had Shane Young involved in helping train us, you know, to get us smart in SharePoint. And as I got to know Shane better, and he would come back down to train us on more stuff as new versions would come out. And, you know, it doesn't take much to cross the barrier with Shane from business acquaintance to friend, and he will share his opinion very freely with you. He started to get really mad at me, and I don't like people getting mad at me. And the problem was we were referring a lot of this design work, dev work, you know, BI work, training work over to his company, SharePoint 911. And while he gladly accepted it, the entrepreneur in him was pissed at me for giving that business away, because just helping somebody's infrastructure run great was nice and all, but yeah, where he really saw value was being able to really help that customer end to end. And so that's where we started to explore, you know, this mean friendship thing, turning it into a mean coworker thing. Yeah. Which has been great.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So you got in your role at Rackspace, you own the SharePoint piece to this, is that correct? You own the SharePoint offering in a sense that you guys have, or the—
That is correct. And when we built it, we built the offering on, you know, everybody would always come, you get these sales guys would say, well, what hardware do we need? Well, what are you selling? We built our service offering on top of Rackspace's managed Windows managed service offering. So whatever we were providing at the time, we built our offering to ride on top of Rackspace, if you will, on their, you know, fanatical support, four-time, you know, Microsoft Partner of the Year, because we love us Microsoft. They did write the software after all, and built it up from there. So,
So fanatical support is something you guys have. It's something I've known Rackspace for a number of years, right? And I've been a Rackspace customer in the past, and I got to say, like, it is a massive differentiator that you guys have in the market. And as somebody that's used the services, fanatical sounds like a good buzzword, right? But it seriously is fanatical. Like, I remember a couple of support calls I made in as a customer for some little items, and, you know, it's like, we'll get back to you in, you know, 6 hours or whatever the SLA was, and then like 20 minutes later, boom, it's all over it. So it's kind of a big differentiator in the market, and something you guys— is that still a big pitch for you in terms of one of the main differentiators is around the support offering and choices that your customers have?
It absolutely is. In fact, you know, I used a lot internally, and I'm allowed to say this externally as well. But I go so far as to say it's the only product Rackspace really has. You know, if you've looked at— and of course you have, you work for the company, but yeah, from a Microsoft perspective, or, you know, your other bookseller competitors, who shall remain nameless, you know, as they build out these Windows clouds, the ability to, you know, spin up a server super fast and have things be elastic, have things be cheap, have things be as you need it, you know, it goes back to, you know, AC, we talk a lot on Facebook and show our different Lego pictures. It comes down to, you got to build it yourself. And if you can't, you're kind of stuck unless you're friends with AC and he'll tell you, you know, what brick goes where. When you're a customer of Rackspace, you can't see the video, folks, but he's pointing at the myriads of Legos that are behind him on his desk. But at Rackspace, it's really around fanatical support. When somebody calls in, and our CEO always used to come down to my desk, and he'd see these customer satisfaction scores. We call them NPS scores, Net Promoter Scores. And he would say, "Diverter, why are your scores so high? They shouldn't be this high." Not that they shouldn't, but why is nobody else's as high as yours? And the reality was, it's a step farther than just running a Windows server, right? So it's more than just making sure that the C prompt is there, making sure that IS is responsive. So when a customer calls us or puts in a ticket and says, "Hey, I need this thing done in SharePoint. We're ready for our public-facing website to be available on the internet. Will you please allow anonymous access?" So it would be easy for a ticket taker to just go click, click, enable anonymous access. We know where those two places are. You got to do it in Central Admin. You got to do it down the site collection. And now you're up and ready to go. But we know what the customer's trying to do with SharePoint. They want their site available. So we're also going to follow through with our network security team and make sure that port 80 is available through the firewall. We're going to make sure that however many webheads are appropriately load balanced at that point to take the stuff that's going to come through. So we really just follow those tickets through the different groups inside of Rackspace to make sure that what the customer's really trying to get accomplished gets accomplished, not just that we answer the ticket.
So you're not just going through and responding to a ticket. You're actually going through and making sure and kind of handholding with the customer and ensuring that what they're trying to achieve is actually going to get achieved, not just by answering their questions, but it's that smells like you're trying to do this over here. We're going to make sure that you're doing the right thing and that we're set up the right way and that you're all good to go.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And that's also one of the values. We charge a little more for somebody to have our support at Rackspace. We are an add-on service. Somebody could come and get servers from us, and they could install and run SharePoint on their own. If they wanted port 80 open, they could put in a ticket and say, or allow anonymous access and hope that somebody at Rackspace and that general Windows team is going to know how to do that. But because we, as what I would call SharePoint experts, know what the customer is trying to do, and we try to read their minds a lot of times as well, so that we can make sure that the actual result that they're looking for gets accomplished.
I see.
So speaking of taking away the management overhead of SharePoint, this is probably a good time to transition to the world of cloud hosting in SharePoint.
Absolutely.
Sorry, go ahead, Daisy.
I was going to say that's one of the big reasons I wanted to have you on the show, Jeff, was to talk a little bit about, and I'd like for you to position it the way that you see best, but the way that I see people positioning it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that, we've got these two extremes of being on-prem where everything's going to live inside of my firewall that my company runs, that I'm not outsourcing anything. And then there's the far other extreme, which is Office 365, which is I don't touch the server, I don't touch the software. All I do is I just consume a software as a service. And I see Rackspace fitting somewhere in between those two models and helping me either achieve some sort of a goal. I don't want to presume what some people are trying to achieve different goals, I would think, if they're trying to go with Rackspace and not going all the way to 365 or keeping it all on-prem. So can you explain a little bit of, where do you see Rackspace fitting, or what customers are coming to you? What are they asking for? Is it people that are trying to go from an on-prem environment to 365 or to the cloud and realize, we don't really want to go all there, but we don't want to stay where we are and that this is the perfect, a sweet spot for us? Or is it people that have maybe gone to 365 and they need something that they can't get? And so they kind of pivot more towards the center of that, of those two extremes. Where do you see that? Where do you see, how can you kind of how do you look and see Rackspace? What are people coming to you for?
So they're coming to us for SharePoint, right? And I don't say that to be funny. They're coming to us to solve a problem, and the tool that they've chosen is SharePoint. And so, I'll go back to what I was just mentioning around our customers. When they're asking for something, we try to read their mind of what's the business problem they're really trying to solve. And so when we start to talk to customers, we'll call it in a pre-sales capacity, and they're asking, you know, hey, I want to come to you for SharePoint. We just don't start with an order taking, how many users, how much storage, blah, 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 blah. It really is, what are you trying to get done inside of SharePoint? And so we refer a lot of business to 365. We don't want a bad sale. A bad sale, everybody's upset. We get a couple of dollars in the short term. The customer gets super frustrated. At the end of the day, I call myself more of a SharePoint evangelist than I do, you know, somebody trying to sell SharePoint at Rackspace, because I've seen time and time again, to the hundreds or thousands of times, SharePoint changing the way a company does business so that they could be more productive at whatever that business is. They're going to spend less time tinkering. They're going to spend more time being productive. They're going to spend less time looking for people or information and more time using that information or dialoguing with that individual around solving whatever problem they're trying to solve. So I completely agree with you, AC. Your comment is right. We sit somewhere right in the middle because I don't put ourselves in the point of being 365. 365 is awesome and it's amazing. I use it personally, and a lot of us here use it as well. I see a world personally where 365 and some form of, we'll just call it on-prem, because the reality is Rackspace's dedicated offering is just like on-prem, but it's in our data center. We're using the same bits. We're installing it the same way, except right, and following your ways, and making it run right. The reality is not everybody needs to put everything in just one location. I think the days of it going into just one place are numbered. Unless you are the U.S. government, unless you are, you know, have some kind of crazy data security requirements, let me put it that way. Because that's really the one main reason that stuff has got to be controlled in your own data center, security requirements. You are not a smart person if you're keeping it in your data center because you like to see a little green light blink. You're spending more time tinkering than you are doing whatever that core business is.
So just like it sounds like, or the way you describe the way you, you know, work with a customer and talk to them about their problem and things, it's almost like you're deeply in the consulting business and just so happen to be able to take care of all of the hosting requirements behind the scenes magically without them having to go somewhere else for it as well. Is that, I mean, it's obviously a huge value add to be able to have that higher level discussion with a customer, you also say, well, hey, we also happen to be able to run this stuff better than you can, and so we'll take care of that for you too. Is that a fair assessment?
It's a very fair assessment. In fact, we get a lot of our sales guys don't get shunned a lot of times, like a traditional, I'll call it a usual salesperson, choose your industry, because we go in and we don't ask, you don't stand there with an order form trying to take an order. What we go in is we start asking questions. How are you using SharePoint today? What are the problems that it's solving? What are the problems that you're having because you're using SharePoint? Because we know SharePoint invents problems, or people invent them with it. And then try to look and see, one, is there a product that Rackspace has that we can provide a solution around? That's really the big part of the value that the SharePoint 911 guys brought when they came in is, you know, we're talking about people like Jennifer Mason or, you know, who can sit in front of a customer and just listen to what business problem they're trying to solve, and is the tool of SharePoint the right tool to solve it, and which socket, which wrench, which screwdriver in that tool chest is the right one to use for it. We really just try to listen and provide a solution. So spot on with calling it consultative, and then a lot of times, you know, it's right for us to host that stuff. We have a lot of customers now who we don't host it for. They want to stay in their data center. Via that whole, you know, bringing the SharePoint 911 guys in, they have a whole vehicle of how to work remotely and manage stuff remotely, code stuff for remote. And when it makes sense, those guys usually then, you know, when you hit a version change, when you need a new feature, then they start to talk to Rackspace.
So you're working with people, you have customers today too that aren't on Rackspace hardware. You're providing some of your SharePoint services to them that are on-prem, but they're not currently like Rackspace managed hardware SharePoint customers.
That's exactly right. It's a, you know, it's a great way for us to extend our expertise out. So there are a couple of ways that we work with them. One, it might just be, you know, doing a farm build for them. It might be taking them through a service pack upgrade. So we're going in and doing a time and materials piece of a bit of contract work. It might be going in and listening to their woes around how they can't find anything and doing a governance plan for them. And then either let them go execute it on their own. Sometimes we'll execute it with them. But we never push hosting unless they're experiencing a problem. You know, SharePoint's one of those beasts that if it's working, don't poke the bear. Let it work until there's a reason to poke the bear. And then I can stand on any mountaintop anywhere and tell you why, if you want a dedicated implementation of SharePoint, that there's no better place in the world to run that at Rackspace. Whether that's our data centers that are on all the continents around the world, except Antarctica, sorry. And or whether it's Windows, running Windows and SQL and the Active Directory and the infrastructure better than anywhere else, or whether that's, you know, the expertise we have around managing SharePoint.
Yeah. As a developer, I can totally agree with it. It's working. Let's just not touch it. Let's just let it rest, let it reside, let it keep going.
What ain't broken.
Exactly. I was a customer of Rackspace when I was back in my critical path days. I know we used you for hosting essentially an on-prem version of SharePoint for us, actually hosting a 2007 and a 2010 version of SharePoint. We were there, and I mean, we never upgraded the 2007 version. I don't know where they are right now on it, but I know we never upgraded the 2007 version because of the upgrade and because so much stuff was custom code done. And it was just like, we're going to maintain two farms. But I mean, especially for us, for a small business, it made perfect sense because we were a completely virtual company. We didn't want to have servers somewhere that we had to babysit and manage and go check on every once in a while. We wanted somebody else to do that for us because we also didn't have the expertise that we needed. We didn't need to. We didn't have to pay somebody to do it. So it made perfect sense. I have a question for you. So, you know, we're in this space today where SharePoint is really evolving. And from my point of view, I see SharePoint really becoming a lesser of a independent kind of a thing. And it's becoming, Microsoft is, to me, from my perspective, pushing it as just another value add of Office 365. It's not just, it's a collection of some services, but now those services are being broken out, split off into their own different pieces. And we have things like Yammer, we have things like OneDrive that are exclusively cloud plays. And so for the customers that, you know, that are coming to you, that are coming to Rackspace, and they're saying, you know, look, there are some of these things that we know that are 100% pure cloud plays, like the social stuff. I mean, we got the social stuff today, but it's very subpar. It's very, you know, it's got a certain lifetime ahead of it to not be improved for on-prem. And I'm talking about all the 2013 social features. But there's certain things that are, the direction is definitely going to the cloud. So how are some customers looking at that? How are you approaching that with some customers? And how does Rackspace kind of deal with that challenge that people are facing today when they're not ready to go to 365, but they want to be able to use some of those features?
So that's a great question. And it's, you know, you can be the protectionist type of a person and argue, try to take a position that says all your SharePoint in one place is a better thing. I think that's a bad idea. Because I always take things and I try to preach, yes, it's just like preaching to the whole team that if we can assist a customer to be successful in their business by using the tool of SharePoint and guiding them through that experience, then we ourselves will be successful. So I've got the whole team working on how we can be, and I think at this point I can't know if I'm quite ready to make the boast that we're the smartest people in the world around doing hybrid implementations, but we're really close. And it's hard, right, to get a dedicated implementation to truly work from an authentication perspective, from a search perspective, from a truly feeling integrated perspective to work right. And so we're building and tearing down farm after farm to do this stuff. We actually got invited, another one of our MVP friends, Fabian Williams, did a couple of sessions on this at SharePoint conference this year on farms that we built for him. Huh. And so all of his on-prem stuff was actually running in a data center at Rackspace on a farm that we built for him. And fully integrated. So all those examples for the dedicated piece of that were ones that we ran for him. Because a world where like, let's just cut to the chase, right? Microsoft has a desire that that SharePoint as a tool set and its extended tool set runs completely in the cloud. In that experience, they have a better way to control that experience. They have a better way to control the code base that they're running on. They have a better way to roll out features in a faster, more controlled way to users. It's a better, it can be a much better experience. Now, we're not there yet. You know, you guys, Microsoft has committed to at least one more release, so we know that an on-premise story is still part of the story for the next several years. We know that a lot of customers do not upgrade on the first, you know, when the version first comes out. So my gut tells me that we have through 2020, we're on-prem is a real viable running thing, but in the context of a hybrid implementation, the ability to extend OneDrive content to the MySite stuff for on-prem implementations was a brilliant move on Microsoft's place. And quite frankly, all of that stuff should be on your commodity storage anyway. We should not be putting, you know, somebody's team pictures for their lunch outing that's in their MySite in expensive SQL storage that the company has to pay for. The ability to extend that to Microsoft in the OneDrive world is brilliant from y'all's ability to slowly pull the customer to feel comfortable about public cloud. And it's great because now we can sell the customer what they really need for stuff they really need it for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's funny you say it like that too, because that, it's a the hybrid piece is definitely the right model. From my point of view, the hybrid piece is definitely the right model to where you see someone is on-prem and they want to start migrate. They want to start being able to consume some of these services. I like your point about, you know, saying that you guys are becoming like, you know, an expert in the hybrid space, because, you know, most of the people you talk to, they all say hybrid is so hard. Hybrid is so hard. From now, it's confusing and it's hard. And a lot of the reasons are because of each customer's environment. It's a little bit different from, you know, their networking settings, their, yeah, all the architecture, all the hardware and all that stuff. But what's also hard about it is that if your organization and you're going to stand up a hybrid environment, how many times are you going to do that? You're not going to do that very often. Once you do it and once it's working, let's go back to the other point we had. You ain't going to touch it.
Yeah.
So you want someone who's got a lot of experience doing this. And if this is something that you guys are constantly setting up, that would seem to me to be a very compelling offering for someone to say, look, these guys have done it a bunch of times, getting search federated with 365. And when we finally have these remote indexes to where things will be all set up, you guys will be right up at the forefront on, you know, not just Rackspace, but all of the hosting companies in that space should be in that forefront of that. You know, we're experienced in doing this stuff. And so it makes sense to kind of have to look to a hybrid environment and saying, I can get one of the benefits of 365, which is no touch hardware. I'm not responsible for the hardware and the upgrades. And, you know, with all respect, let the hosting company deal with the upgrades of the new drives and the memory and all that stuff. But I want to be able to take advantage, have the benefit of all the on-prem features and some of the 365 features in a hybrid environment, but I don't need to sit there and spend 2 months trying to figure out exactly how this whole thing's supposed to work, testing all that kind of stuff. Let's go with somebody who's got the experience doing it.
Well, and then God forbid when the network guys update your F5 load balancer that's actually handling a lot of that brokering in between, and that connection then breaks that took you 2 months to set up the first time. Now you got to go back and troubleshoot it. It's difficult.
And now you're speaking Chinese to me. The dev just, I just come, you know,
boing. That's what we think about all day long, though. I mean, we have to find a place where we provide value. And the value is helping the customer use SharePoint on their terms and it makes sense for their business.
Makes total sense to me. I think nobody's under the illusion that the world is not, you know, cut and dry, black or white, and it's going to be a complex business for the next wee while. You know, you've got customers who are purely on-prem today, who want some of the benefits of the cloud, but can't go the whole hog for either regulatory reasons or whatever it happens to be, right? I think there's, yeah, you know, there's not going to be any shortfall of folks wanting to do hybrid for the next significant period of time, at least in my view.
I agree with you. Even around, we could talk about a specific use case around, you know, we want a full BI stack to live in on-prem, but we want all the collaboration to be elsewhere. But I even think that the story around collaboration will be a very hybrid story. So I want M&A activities and legal to be on a dedicated farm where I can put my arms around it, but let's put everybody else out in a 365 world.
Also, just the legacy people have in SharePoint on-prem as well. You know, there's lots of customers that we talk to that, or that I talk to, that they have no interest in moving, per se moving, right? A lot of their sort of, what's the right word? I was going to say cruft, but that's not quite right. You know, sort of legacy stuff that they've already done in SharePoint, and they don't have to rejig it and filter it and decide what they want to do with it and all that sort of stuff. So those things are going to, they want to be able to search that. They want to be able to, index that and find it later on, but they don't necessarily want to do anything with it. And so being able to hook it up to their new environment, whether that be in 365 or a new environment at Rackspace or what have you, is going to be super important because it can't just be siloed and left alone forever. So hybrid's going to be super important in that aspect too.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I have one more question that I wanted to ask here, and this is, I know that from the 365 side, you know, one of the things that Microsoft, I don't want to say they push, I guess it's more of they tout as a benefit.
Tell us what you really think, AC.
No. I wasn't trying to be nice in the way I said it. I was actually being very genuine. I don't think that it's a push. I think it's more of a, you know, hey, look, this is a benefit here, and that is, if you're going to 365, you're going in the cloud, you want to build these custom kind of things that are going to hook into it, you should take a look at putting those custom things inside the cloud as well, a la Azure. And so here's a benefit of all these Azure services you can consume, and how we're seeing the beginnings, I think, of a lot of the integration pieces of being able to have the fruits kind of come together and integrating Azure Active Directory and stuff like that. So I guess one of the question that I have then is that, you know, for Jeff, for people, when people are coming to Rackspace, you know, are they, and they're looking for things that fall into that kind of a bucket. They say, we want to build, I don't want to just exclude just a 2013, but let's just say, you know, we want to build apps, but these apps have to live and they have to run somewhere. How many of the people that are talking to you are looking to say, let's put those apps inside of Azure, or they're looking to put it inside of the Rackspace cloud, not the SharePoint piece of the cloud, but like the additional offering that you guys have, which I think it's called your OpenStack offering, but they want to take advantage of other stuff. If it's something that you can share, how's that discussion going?
So it's going well. So there's a few things to share about that. So part of it is, if a customer is coming to us, then they want us to manage their stuff. Now, what we do, I'll give you a little behind the scenes tour here, is it's like we're walking through a data center, is when we build a SharePoint environment for a customer, a dedicated environment for a customer, it's usually built on some fashion of some dedicated gear, some physical gear on some virtualized servers running on hypervisors that are dedicated to them behind their own firewall. So it's a completely contained environment. Now, the reality is, as we define a cloud today, I would call that, and it would be a true definition, a private cloud. So we are building private clouds today for almost all of our customers, whether that's dedicated just to their SharePoint stuff or whether they've come to us for a lot more. Because the reality is, if somebody's coming to us for SharePoint, they're just trying to pawn off the SharePoint problem so they can solve other bigger problems in their day. They just want to stop dealing with, you know, the day-to-day of the SharePoint stuff because it's getting in their way. They want us to deal with it. So these things often become larger private clouds inside of Rackspace. When a customer is wanting to follow the do some custom stuff inside of there and really work the app story, whether that's 10 or 13, and they're looking for some compute to run that on, they've already built a private cloud with us. And quite frankly, it's easier for them, it's easier and probably a little less expensive in the long run for them just to spin up another VM in this private cloud that they've built. If they're doing it truly locked in, all in, locked in is the wrong word, all in at Rackspace, because none of our stuff's locked in. It extends everywhere. Now, we do have customers who are looking to run these environments, whether it's in Rackspace's public cloud, whether it's in Azure. Some of them run it on a bookstore. Not too many run over there. But at the end of the day, if they've gone to the expense to plan out an environment that's a private cloud environment, a lot of them are running it directly with us on that private cloud environment. They aren't extending out to anything that's, quote, more burstable. Because that's the other thing to think about, is when we talk about clouds, or I'm going to the cloud, you can't see the hand quotes I'm doing, people at home, but I'm doing them really big so maybe you can see, is cloud really just means to the vast majority of the world means not in my data center. And so when you think about something going to the cloud, you need to think about also what kind of compute needs to run there. Our public cloud people don't understand us very well, us Windows-y SharePoint people, because they think in the true elastic-y, burstable, dynamic cloud fashion. That's what cloud really meant when it was kind of started, and that was, hey, I want to spin up some servers on demand. I want to pull stuff out on demand. I want to expand here. I want to contract here as I have need. Remember, we're talking about SharePoint here. SharePoint doesn't expand and contract on its own. It just falls over and dies if something gets larger. It's not built to be that way. You know, 365 was built to be able to do that, but you guys just threw a ton of infrastructure at it, so it was always available to handle that stuff, which is great. But when you're talking about an app running inside of SharePoint, it's not something you really want to turn on and turn off. So you want it to be available and always there. So I'm going to challenge you guys, whether you're looking at doing it in a private cloud fashion, whether you want to run it in a Rackspace cloud, in Azure cloud, look at the economics of that, whether it's the compute that you need, whether it's the networking that you need. That thing has got to be online all the time if your SharePoint's going to be online all the time. Mm. Make sure you're considering that.
Mm. That's a good point. That's a good point. I was curious about that because I know that a lot of people, you know, that when they want to start moving in that direction, they like the idea of getting the apps off of their infrastructure and stuff, but they want, there's some are not as comfortable with moving to a cloud provider, like an Azure, like an AWS, like a Rackspace, like a whatever.
Yeah, so at the Microsoft Hosting Summit earlier this year, Michelle Bailey was on stage with the 451 Research Group, and she had a really profound statement. And one, there was a lot of metrics around the amount of businesses, enterprises in the world who have spent the past 10 years just virtualizing inside of their own data center. They haven't even thought about leaving their data center. Mm-hmm. But as people who live in this world, think about moving to the cloud and out into the cloud, the road to the public cloud is through private cloud. That gets that virtualized world out of their data center and into somebody else's data center who's an expert at running data centers. Let it run there. Let's build a confidence around the architecture and the provider to make sure it's safe and secure and available. And then they'll move more to a public cloud stuff. But as we were talking about earlier, it's going to be a hybrid implementation. Some stuff staying in a private cloud, some stuff going into a public cloud. And I would define 365 as a highly available, fully functional, more than functional because you guys are putting features there before you're putting it on-prem, public cloud.
You know, it's funny you say that because it was I heard something just recently. I thought it was a really well described thing. It's going to be interesting to see how this goes in terms of like the on-prem, the hybrid and everything. But, and I say this and before you laugh, I mean, hear the whole thing out because I think it does hold true, especially for those of our audience who are not brand new into this space. But the on-prem and the hybrid model is almost like COBOL, right? We don't know if it's going to be valid and if it's going to be realistic for the next 2 years or for the next 10 years, but whichever one, it's going to be valid for a while. And I don't think we're going to see it move and completely go away in the next 2 years, but we may even still see it around in 10 years, just like we see COBOL around today, just like we see things like Lotus Notes and everything. There's some people have got some great implementations of it and some people just don't want to move, but
yeah.
At any rate. Well, cool. Jeff, this is a fantastic conversation. I really appreciate you coming on the show here. I hope we've given a lot of information, a lot of really good insight from a hosting provider's perspective with respect to SharePoint and Office 365. So for me, thank you very much for coming to the show and giving us your thoughts.
Yeah, and likewise, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for giving us your fanatical support of our podcast.
Absolutely. My pleasure, truly my pleasure. And if you take anything away from it, it's Rackspace cares about people being successful with the tool that is SharePoint, wherever that is. And we want to help customers be successful with it. So we're happy to help. And I was really glad to be on with you guys today. Thank you for providing that opportunity.
So one thing I'd add there is if people want to get in touch with Rackspace and your team, how's it best to get hold of you?
The easiest place is just to go to our website, which would be sharepoint.rackspace.com. It's Excellent. A website that's oddly enough running on SharePoint. And all of our contact info is there. You know, and if you're just feeling bored and in a meeting, you want to go to that website. We wrote a game on SharePoint that you can go play using the app model. And you can go blow up some site collections and folders. That's a great way to kill some time and kill some folders.
I didn't realize I was playing games all this time. I thought I was actually just making mistakes.
Yeah, that sounds like my farm architecture diagram game thingy. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a window into what's coming with that. What's going to happen is we want that to be something you can install on your farm, and it's going to interrogate your farm, and it's going to be like, you know, your files are going to be coming up, your site collections are going to come up, and your little Fanatic guy is going to be able to blow them up with a dart gun.
I love it.
That's brilliant.
I love it. We got to get an exclusive for the show. Cool. Well, thanks a lot, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.